Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big U, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Cousins inbounds the ball. Curry heaves it at the buzzer. It's no good. Franchise history. League history. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. A city, a province, a country celebrates. The NBA championship is due north. The wow. Toronto Raptors win 114-110.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors are NBA champions after beating Golden State, the defending champions, and ending Golden State's title run last night. And welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Congratulations to Toronto and the country of Canada, AO, for the first Canadian championship in 26 years.
Well, NBA championship in
NBA championship in ever, and their first major championship in any sport in 26 years for the entire country of Canada. Yeah, it'd been that long. 1993, when the Canadians won the Cup and the Blue Jays won the World Series in the same year. Anyway, welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to get into the NBA Finals and everything that that means in just a moment. But we have a bigger news here in Atlanta than the NBA championship. We have a baseball team that is red hot. How you doing, Hugh?
I'm good. Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? You know, great game yesterday. Way to sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates after, going up there and letting them win the series. Well, let them win the series. And then coming back and handling your business. Congratulations. Now you got a big one coming up this weekend.
Oh, you got a big one coming up tonight. Big game. Start of a three-game set with the Philadelphia Phillies are in town. And we'll have Max Fried on the mound tonight against Nick Pivetta. The Braves a game and a half ahead of the Phillies in first place, and that series begins tonight. And everybody's saying, "Oh, you're beating up on the Marlins and the Tigers and
well,
the Pirates."
Well, I mean, it is what it is. But they play baseball too. They pick up their check the same day everybody else in MLB pick up their check. So now it's time, you know, the measuring stick games, you know, and take care of your business. I wonder how stoked the players are. I mean, you know. Granted, a lot of baseball left to be played. Always got to put that caveat out there. But to be going into this series, John, and knowing where you're standing right now, and, you know, I would think that, you know, baseball is a grind with the day-to-day, but you got to be kind of up for this one. You got to be a little stoked for this one.
Yeah, yeah, the Braves are swinging the bats really well. It'll be an interesting series against the Phillies. A huge crowd's expected tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at what is currently known as SunTrust Park, as the Braves take on the Phillies in this huge set in the NL East. Of course, other headlines last night, a huge crowd of zero in Kennesaw.
Nobody.
To see Atlanta United in extra time beat the Charleston Battery 3-1. And a fortunate win in a lot of ways because Atlanta United fell behind early 1-0 in this game. And then Charleston went into a 10-man box. And
not a 10-man box.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they hunker down.
Yep.
Trying to keep them from scoring. Yeah, hunker down.
Atlanta United got thrown a set piece from Romario Williams in the 79th minute. And then they went into extra time. And finally, with these teams exhausted, at the 110-minute mark, Atlanta United got a goal from Brandon Vasquez. 10 minutes later, they got another goal from Brandon Vasquez, and they went 3-1. They advance in the U.S. Open Cup to play next Tuesday in Columbus, field and weather permitting. I think it'll be fine.
One caveat, yes, it seems like the weather's going to be kind of warm in Columbus. Warm enough for you to actually get a match in.
Maybe warmer than it is here this morning.
It's a little chilly. I kind of like it, though.
I kind of liked it, too.
I mean, because, you know, later on today in Atlanta, it's going to get warm. It's going to heat up a little bit. Don't let it fool you. This is the only place Well, since I've been living here, where you can wake up in the morning and you can have on a coat, and then in the afternoon, you're probably wearing shorts or something because it's hot. It'll get hot on you as soon as the sun come up. Just wait for the sun to come up. It's going to get warm.
Yeah, that's the nice. But boy, it's been nice. I mean, yesterday I was out at the ballpark. Hugh, honestly, I'm not sure I've ever felt a more perfect day in mid-June for baseball than yesterday. I mean, it was Chamber of Commerce weather.
Yeah, it was so nice. Beautiful. It was a nice time. So you fought the traffic, John, for you to get out that way?
Yeah.
It was a battle. It was a little bit of a battle. But for you, it's a little different because you're going straight to Islamabad right after that, though, right? Mm-hmm. You probably take the back roads to get there. Traffic was a little bit of a beast.
No. I mean, I just went from here to there. So I just shut up.
So you didn't have to. There was no traffic because it was a parking zoo.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah.
Going to the game yesterday.
Right, I went straight from work. So okay. I mean,
you know, oh, so you got there early. Yeah, so you were there. You were there early.
Yeah, a little bit early.
Did you see BP? Did you get a chance to go to BP?
Saw a little BP. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And the team looks really good, and ran into a few people and shook
hand, kissed babies.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go tonight. I'm going to try to get out there tonight.
You know, and for a middle-of-the-day game, I was going, okay, they're hot, but they're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's a noon start, and I'm kind of going.
Thinking it was like a throwaway game?
Well, no, I just didn't think there'd be. But it was a large crowd, and a lot of kids. And then, school's out. So, I mean, there are busloads of kids coming in.
Yeah.
And right now the team has captured the imagination of the city because it's exciting, man.
I tell you yesterday though, a great win yesterday. But towards the end, because I was listening to it because yesterday I was being Uber. I was being Uber for my son yesterday.
Oh, Huber. Huber.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a clever way of saying that. But yeah, man, Luke Jackson had people on life support for a little while. Yeah. And you know what's funny, and I'm never one to panic, but man, that's something that we got to fix.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
We'll get into that.
That's something that we got to fix.
We'll get into that in just a few minutes here, because I've got a few thoughts about that. But the Braves going for 8 wins in a row, and they host the Phillies tonight. Some of the other headlines include Tiger at the Open yesterday. Last night, interesting to watch golf last night in prime time, and. It was one of the power group of Tiger, Spieth, and Rose, and it was Justin Rose who turned out to be the hot guy. Justin Rose ended up 6 under par, and he has the lead after one round of the U.S. Open. Tiger he was putting well. He was making great recovery shots, but, man, his iron play was just all over the place. He was erratic, to say the least. He's 1 under. He's not out of it, but he was just kind of all over the place.
He still has plenty of time. And, probably, I don't know how many times he's had that late start. Maybe that had a little bit to do with it. Just a little bit off his game, maybe.
Yeah, just unusual. I mean, because he's been playing so well ever since, kind of toward the latter part of last year, right before he won at East Lake. And it was just unusual to see Tiger be kind of that not dialed in, with his iron play. But if he does dial it in and gets whatever is fixed, the Fox broadcast last night was interesting. And I'm not trying to, one of the things I thought was kind of interesting was that they kept saying things in golf language that I thought, and this was just me as a TV viewer, like at one point Tiger got double-crossed, and what double-crossed means is you aim a certain way and then you miss it in what you're trying to do. You double-cross yourself. And, they're talking about these terms of golf, and I'm going, you realize that there are so many people watching who are not your average golf fans. They're just people watching because you have a chance to show a major in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to explain what you're talking about, because when you use lingo
a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, they don't know what you're talking about.
But isn't that like being a little bit of golf snobbish?
Yeah.
Snobbery?
They assume that people understand.
Yeah, like you should know this. Yeah. I mean, it feels a little bit like that. But I didn't get a chance to see it, like I said, because I was being a Huber. But That's kind of how golf feels to most people. People that aren't as well-versed in the golf language as others are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you need an interpreter to sit there and kind of tell you what's going on a little bit.
Right. They were speaking a little golfese, right? Though they have that really cool thing. It's so cool nowadays because of the way the sports is. On my DirecTV, I could go to channel 701, mm-hmm. and it was the mixed channel, and it had like four different. It had the network version,
and the closed caption version, the one you could see when the feed that nobody else gets, the right. exclusive feed or whatever.
And then there was one that was just like Tiger all the time. That if you wanted to just watch Tiger all the time.
Oh, okay, I got you. Like a separate camera for each individual golfer.
You know, with another group of announcers just following Tiger. So it was a little dry because when you're following just one group. And following just Tiger's group, they'd all tee off, and the announcers would talk. Tiger now walking down the fairway. Tiger grabbing a towel. Tiger, now he's reaching in. Is he going to get an apple out of his bag? And there's other golf going on that you're not seeing because you're only watching the one group.
That would be kind of cool, though, because you get to hone in on the one golfer that you really want to watch.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of cool. Like if you went to the tournament and walked the tournament and followed that group. You know what I mean?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're not seeing anything else that's going on the rest of the course. So you're Huber, huh?
Yeah, I was yesterday, and I let him drive.
How about Little Huber becomes Little Huber?
Yeah. What?
How about Little Hugh becomes Little Huber at some point? You know, once he...
I don't know, John. I mean, I don't know if
does
any
Does he not
other...
want Daddy to buy him a ride?
No, I don't know what's going on. But, you know, some days are better than other when it comes to driving. My biggest thing is I don't understand, and maybe parents that have tried to help their kids... drive, maybe you could help me out with this because it feels like with him, there are days when his focus is there as far as being behind the wheel and some days there isn't. Like, okay, the fundamentals of driving, he has those. But it's just the wherewithal to be aware of your surroundings and know what's going on. He's regressed a little bit there. And I don't know if it's because of where we were coming from practice or whatever, but, you know, just – driving and not being aware of the other cars,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a little bit of a concern because you're worried, like for me, I'm worried about, okay, what's going to happen, say, if you have a bad day at school and whatever it is that happened, you're thinking about that as opposed to driving the car.
Right.
That's my biggest issue right now. I don't get how you can get behind a wheel and not know the seriousness of, you know, I might be painting this picture a little bit, you know, extreme, but as a dad, you know, we do that. Parents, we do that because mm-hmm. you want to, you know, you fear for, especially the first time you let them drive by themselves. You're a little nervous. We had a little setback, but he's still good. But it was, you know, just
what are the rules? I mean, it used to be, of course, you know, you and I are old enough that when we were 16, we got our license, we could drive.
Yeah, story. And that was it.
But not no more. I mean, you have to have somebody age 21 or older
in the car with you.
In the car, and you can't drive after a certain hour or something.
Yeah, you can't drive at night.
Yeah, you can't drive at night.
So but he's getting better. It's just that, you know, sometimes it feels like he's what we used to call back in the day lunching. He's lunching a little bit. So yeah, but it's getting better. It's getting better.
Talking about some of the headlines as we get ready for another big weekend ahead. It's a Friday with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. It is going to be, as mentioned, a fun weekend against the Phillies with first place on the line. Braves win tonight, and they'll guarantee themselves first place coming out of the series no matter what happens. And at this point, I know all that's true. I just want them to start to advance and to grow this lead on the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll get into round two of the U.S. Open today. Tiger tees off at 11:24 with Jordan Spieth and with the leader, Justin Rose. Jordan Spieth, by the way, did something yesterday I thought was really wrong.
What did he do?
He hit... couple of really good shots, but he misclubbed on the two shots, and he didn't blame himself. He turned around and on national TV blamed his caddy for misclubbing, and I went, dude.
Oh, he just put him on blast.
Yeah, put him on blast on national TV. I went, you know, you're driving this show.
If Spieth wins, though, that the caddy don't mind, because I mean, he get a nice little payday.
If the caddy don't get fired, you know, in the meantime, because I mean, he's blasting his caddy. I'm like, dude, don't do that. Not a good look.
That's a tough spot to be in.
Hey, the Braves. The good news is they're a game and a half up. The exciting news is they're playing the Phillies. The bad news is we haven't figured out this situation in the bullpen. It's still sort of Damocles. You can Google that.
That was good. It's nice to score some runs for him, and that was big. I mean, we needed at least six innings out of him, and he got it, and he's had a rough start, and then he kind of looked like he kind of got his second win, third dealing, and that was big.
Lifted toward left. Culberson is there, drifting back to the track, and the Braves have won it. A four-game sweep over the Pittsburgh Pirates.
We're playing good baseball. I mean, top to bottom. Starting pitching, bullpen, our lineup has been absolutely phenomenal. Our defense has been great. We show up on a nightly basis to play. So we got a lot of good things going on right now.
Brian McCann talking about how many good things the Braves have going on right now. They do, having won 7 games in a row as they take out the Pittsburgh Pirates and sweep the Pirates at SunTrust Park. And welcome back to the morning show. Here, Chip Carey on Fox Sports Southeast talk about the final play of the game, but it got a little dicey. Braves hang on to win 6-5, and we thought, for a moment there. So let's talk about the good first, Hugh. 7 wins in a row. You got the Phillies coming in for this gigantic series tonight. You've opened up a game and a half lead in the National League, and the Braves are so hot, Hugh, that there are only 2 teams in the National League that have at least 40 wins this year, the L.A. Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves, second-best record in the National League.
Yeah, you're playing good baseball right now, John, and now you get a chance to get a little piece of what you lost back tonight against the Phillies. They'll start to get that back coming into town, and it'll be a great measuring stick for you because that's the game, beginning of the season, where they swept you, and a lot of people felt like, you know, you didn't do enough in offseason and that this team wasn't going to be good enough. So now you get a chance to get a little bit of that oomph back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they made the move for Dallas Keuchel. We haven't seen the impact of that yet, and that's a good thing. But when you heard Brian McCann, he said a lot of good things are happening, you know, offensively, defensively. There was a great play by, did you see the bare hander by Dansby Swanson yesterday? I mean, yeah. They've been playing great defense. They've been running the bases. They played small ball again yesterday, you know, advancing runners along, playing, station-to-station baseball and not relying on the home run. And yet, through all of that, you know, the starting pitching's been pretty good.
Julio Teheran's been pretty decent,
mm-hmm,
John.
He has
You're
been.
Talking about he's pitched in the last 7 games, 38.2 innings, 19 hits, 4 earned runs. That's not bad.
That's really good.
It's not bad at all. And it's one of those things where you look at him, he might not be your ace, but he's been pretty consistent out of these last 7.
Well, he is. I think he and Mike Soroka are the 2 most effective starters you've
yes.
had.
Yes, and then when you add Keuchel into that mix, now we just need to figure out what we're going to do with that that closer spot. That's still up for audition.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And that's something that's still, you know, it's not where you want it to be. It's not one of the worst bullpens in Major League Baseball, but it's still not where you want it to be.
Yeah, the closer situation more than anything else. I mean, Luke Jackson is simply, you know, he's a decent setup guy. You know, I mean, he's all right, and yet he blows too many games. I mean, he blew a hold the game before. It came, you know, 6-4. Granted, Tuki Jusson just had a really bad day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tuki came in and couldn't get you or me out. But having said that, then Swarzak, to his credit, this Anthony Swarzak has pitched pretty well since he came over from Seattle. Maybe he's found a new home. Maybe we ought to try him at closer because right now, Luke Jackson scares the living daylights out of me.
Yeah, and it was a moment yesterday where, you know, it looked like he was about to get away from him. He was able to hold it together, but still, yeah, that's what it is. And I don't like to push the panic button, but going into this series against the Phillies and looking at what you could potentially be, I'm pretty sure the Braves are going to make some moves, but that is an area that really is of huge concern right now.
Well, it's by far the biggest concern you have.
Yes.
And, of course, I think it was the biggest concern you had all year long. The biggest concern maybe in the offseason, too, is that you don't have somebody. Of course, going into the year, the difference was is that you had Aroides Vizcaíno and A.J. Minter, and you thought, well, you know, maybe we can make those 2 guys work with a righty-lefty combo closer kind of thing going on. Vizcaíno gets injured, ends up being traded. Minter blows up and gets sent to the minors. Now he's back now, and they may let A.J. Minter try and close again.
See where his head is.
You know, see where his head is, because right now, Luke Jackson's head is not in it. And, again, I'm not saying we get rid of Luke Jackson, and I think you keep him, but I'm not letting him close, not right now.
Yeah, somewhere, you know, I think they like his stuff. It's just like right now, it's just not clicking. He was able to pull it together yesterday, though, like I said. He was able to
work his way
out of it, which is a good sign. But, man, when you start talking about it's getting down to, fish and cut bait, you want to definitely upgrade that position if you got a chance to.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to be sitting around here talking about the negative and everything else because, again, the Braves have won, you know, 10 of their last 12. They've won 7 in a row. They've opened up a game-and-a-half lead in the National League East. I mentioned they have second-best record in the entire National League. They have a better record than the Phillies, the Brewers, the Cubs. They have a better record than all of them.
Yeah, and the only thing you want to do now is try to extend that thing. That's what you want to do. You want to try to stretch that thing out and be here in this first place You know, with the Phillies looking up at you as long as you possibly can.
You know, the thing is that there's always that big but, right? And the big but is if they had had a closer from the jump this season, they wouldn't be a game and a half up here. They'd be 5.5 up. They'd be 6.5 up.
Yeah, and that's where you hear people that talk about the games that you've lost, the 10 saves blown, that you had that come into play. But still a lot of baseball left to be played, and this weekend is a great opportunity for you to gain some ground against the Phillies. You know, you're talking about, was a three-game set this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
You got to win two out of the three. Got to win two out of the three.
And one of the things we talked about was establishing SunTrust Park as your home, and suddenly, you know, they are, you know, 20 wins at home, 20 wins on the road, 40 wins on the year. They're playing a little bit better baseball at home, which is a good thing.
And I tell you what, man, it's a huge confidence builder, because I would assume as a player, you know, and the ebb and flow of baseball season, to go get an opportunity right now. You're sitting in number one, and you get a chance to like gain some, like, you know, widen the gap between you and the team that swept you at the beginning of the season with all of that money that they paid for those guys. You know, and you got these young rainmakers on the squad, young bombers that could come out and make it happen. And if the opportunity is presented, they can play small ball. They can give it to you either way. This is a totally different team, John, like I said, than the one that they saw in the first games of the season. Totally different team.
The starting pitches for this weekend, we're talking about the Braves and the Phillies, this huge series as the Phillies come in now, looking up at the Braves, who are a game and a half ahead in the NL East. The Braves going for 8 wins in a row tonight when they send Max Fried to the mound against Nick Pivetta. Then on Saturday, it will be Sean Newcomb against Aaron Nola in a big matchup. And then Mike Foltynewicz will take on Ranger Suarez on Sunday. Now, here's the thing. With Fried and Newcomb and Foltynewicz, let's just focus on the first two. Tonight, Max Fried. Tomorrow, Sean Newcomb. You got Dallas Keuchel around the corner, maybe as early as, probably a week from today. And so you know he's coming into the rotation, obviously, alongside Soroka and Julio Teheran. Then who becomes the fourth guy? Max Fried and Newcomb. You can look at this one of two ways. Max Fried's got to pitch well tonight. He's struggled and scuffled his last two or three outings, Hugh. A little bit enough that if Sean Newcomb goes out and beats Aaron Nola and throws a gem, you might have a little bit of predicament. You could put Max Fried back in the bullpen and put Sean Newcomb back into the rotation. You could.
Why?
Because he's struggling a little bit.
So since he's struggling a little bit, now you want to take your best pitcher because you got Sean Newcomb pitching well and put him in the starting rotation to put Max Fried in the bullpen? I don't know about that, John. I mean, we just sat here a couple days ago and we were talking about how we want to let our pitchers get comfortable and how tough is it to work under conditions where, you know, if you have one mess up that you could potentially be sent back down. I think Max Fried needs to work his way out of this. He's a young pitcher. He's your best pitcher that you had on your staff up until this point. This is the ebb and flow of baseball. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that you need to pull the trigger and be hasty in your decisions, in your decision making.
Well, it's certainly been the Rick Kranitz model this year. I mean, if you
not with certain guys. I would say, like, when I look at this pitching staff, I think that he is a guy that you're looking at. We're talking about him as being an all-star. He's an all-star.
I don't think he makes the all-star at this point.
Max Fried?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. But he's your best pitcher on this staff.
Well, Soroka's the best pitcher on this staff.
I would say Max Fried, but I mean, you know, that's up for discussion. You're right. Maybe I'm. You know, whatever. I would say Max Fried. I like Max Fried's stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I don't see you putting yourself in a position where you send him back down. I don't think you do that with him.
No, but he came out of the bullpen. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting to me. See, Kranitz, look, let's step back for a second. Rick Kranitz, ever since he came, has had this really quick trigger, right? I mean, look, you saw it with Sean Newcomb, right?
Because I think you had a quick trigger because you came in with a style of pitching that you wanted. You wanted to throw more strikes and keep the ball low.
Right.
And in the zone. You come in and guys at one point, they weren't doing that.
Right.
And so you're not in a position where you got time to wait on guys to do the simplest things you want to do for them. Mm-hmm. And they even said with Sean Newcomb, for whatever reason, it just wasn't registered until he got into the bullpen.
Right. And so now you're going to give him a chance to start again. And he was your number one starter last year.
Yeah, spot start. I think it's a spot start, correct?
Correct. It's a spot start.
Because you're trying to give Dallas Keuchel a chance to cover. I still think that Newcomb is going back into the bullpen.
Oh, and he may. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I think, don't misunderstand me. I think it would be interesting you know, because there's certain things with this spot start with Sean Newcomb that I'm starting to think about. Number one is, could there be an issue? Let's say Max struggles tonight and Newcomb is great. Could you actually, with Keuchel coming, because you're not going to have three. They still look at Sean Newcomb as a starter, Hugh.
And no, not, yeah,
I
yeah.
I mean, so.
But with Alex Anthopoulos said, right now he's better served in the bullpen. Now, is there a chance he might come back into the star rotation? Yes. But right now I think he is your better option coming out of the bullpen.
And there is one other thing, and I'm just kind of playing this out in my mind. There's one other thing, Hugh, that I think is interesting. Could they be showcasing Sean Newcomb? That could be happening, too.
Trading?
Mm-hmm.
John, why would you trade?
You need a closer, Hugh.
You need a closer, John, and but you have other position players that you could potentially trade.
Yeah, but that may not be what the team that has the closer wants. They may want a frontline starter.
Yeah, I hear you. But I would not. That's not operating from a position of power. I don't think you would get rid of him. I don't think that Sean Newcomb is on the table as far as for another team. I would definitely not get rid of him.
Yeah, this is just interesting. You're going to have to part with something. You know, they're not going to ask for just, you know, prospects if you want a big-name closer, if you want the best closer you can get. I'm just wondering. I'm just thinking out loud. All right, I'm getting lost in the weeds here because we're going for 8 wins in a row. Let's beat the Phillies tonight as we talk about the Braves and the Phillies with Max Fried. And, Max, I hope you go out and just are nails tonight against Nick Pivetta. It is Father's Day weekend, too. One of the things we're asking on our Twitter, what are the best and worst Father's Day gifts? What's the worst Father's Day gift you can give? That's next with John and Hugh. On the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the game and 92 on thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Tonight, SunTrust Park Braves go for 8 in a row. Sending Max Fried to the mound against Nick Pivetta. Opening game of a huge series against the Philadelphia Phillies. And let's hope the Braves can keep this rolling. And, you know, if they have to make a statement to you because, well, you know, you're not beating the big teams. All right. I only won the NL East last year and beat all those teams in the NL East by a mile. And, all right, let's see what they've got. They only have the second best record in Major League Baseball. I mean, in the National League. So, okay, fine.
We're going to see what that means this weekend, though, I would say. With the Phillies and a lot of people looking at them with a lot of pieces on their team that we wish we had here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people wish we mm-hmm. had here. So that's going to be your measuring stick. And how that plays out tonight and the rest of this weekend, John, is going to drive the Twitter. It's going to drive the Solid Brothers down the text line.
Yeah.
It's going to drive everything. So tonight is the night where a lot of Braves fans are going to be looking with that side eye, with that stink eye, to see how well they you know, prevail over the Phillies.
All right, so it is, again, a big weekend with a sports weekend ahead. It should be a beautiful weekend in Atlanta to get outside and enjoy things, too. And, of course, it's Father's Day weekend.
Father's Day.
And we are asking you on our Twitter, at 929TheGame, what are the best and worst Father's Day gifts that you've ever received, okay? Do you know what the best and worst are? Now, I will say this. I don't remember any Father's Day gift I've ever gotten.
You know what? I just want to give a shout out to my man Frank Merrill because he just sent one and he said the best gift, easy, a picture book made with the kids, with his kids' pictures of them as they grow up. That's a great gift. And that's a gift that I look at that they put a lot of thought into. Because that, you know what, the unfortunate thing about us as dads is that we are the unsung heroes of the house. We don't really need a whole lot to keep us going. But it's always one of those things that the more thought that you put into the gift that you give us, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the more heartfelt, thoughtful gifts are the ones that we cherish the most.
And the reason I don't remember any gifts is because I can't recall if I've ever got a gift. And that's not calling my daughter out. Don't get me wrong. It's just that I usually just ask her for a card.
No, but you know what, John? I remember.
And I know that she gets usually every year she just gets me a card.
When my son,
very well thought out.
When my son was growing up, and when my daughters as well, like the little things, like I remember my son made me a statue from his school. It was, I guess it was me with dreadlocks, and it was him. Like you have to look at the statue mm-hmm. to actually know what it is, mm-hmm. but I guess it was me and him hanging out. He did this when he was like a little boy, like 4 or 5.
Hmm.
And I still have that gift. As a matter of fact, it's like a statue in my home right now, and he made me a cup that he made me a coffee cup that ironically I can't drink out of because you can't put hot water in it, but I still have that cup and it says dad on it. Like those things like that, those are the ones that we cherish the most. The ones that really, I think, get under our skin is the ones you just, oh, it's just dad and just like a pair of drawers, some socks, some things of that nature. Those are the ones you get a little bit perturbed by. Just like, come on, man. Like put some thought into this. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, like, look, listen, I don't ask you for a whole lot. I don't even complain about the stuff that you do.
Yeah, my daughter wants to take me out to lunch anywhere I want to go on Sunday, which is great.
But you're paying for it.
I know. It's okay. She does work. She has two jobs. And so she if she wants to call it coming out of those funds, that's fine by me.
Yeah, but you know, like, listen, it's for dads, I would say, it's not so much like the gift per se. It's the thought behind the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because when you go to the dollar store and you get like the little toolbox to get a dad, like the little tool kit or whatever, or the best dad apron or something like that, you really didn't put a whole lot of thought into that. Right. That's that one, hey, you know what? It's Father's Day. Let's go get this food something, man, before we start complaining. That's kind of how we look at it. But those gifts that you put thought into, right, like, hey, dad, you know, I was at the store, or dad, I made this photo album of us hanging out fishing, and every year that we went fishing, and how it we changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That right there, dad will cherish that for the rest of his life. He might not say anything about it, but he got that gift. He has those gifts.
You know, when I was, when my daughter was growing up, I think the best gift you could give me was just to leave me alone to watch the Braves in the U.S. Open. You know,
most of the time,
I just leave dad alone on Sunday so he can pop down and watch the Braves in the U.S. Open. You know, that's all I ask for. I just want to be able to sit down, you know, and look, my daughter doesn't live with me anymore, and, you know, she's starting to grow up. And so, yeah, just go out to, you know, she takes me out. If we happen to live in the same city, she takes me out to brunch. That's great. That's, I mean, wonderful.
And I tell you what, as a dad, and I always riff on Father's Day for the terrible gifts that y'all give y'all fathers. But the biggest gift that you can give your dad, in all seriousness, is your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because dad's not the one, like mom, not bagging on moms, but mom will let you know in a heartbeat if you're not spending enough time with her. Dad, probably not so much because it's not in our DNA to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just go over there and if you just spend a couple hours with your father, that probably means more to him than any gift that you could ever give him, to be totally honest.
Oh, yeah, because I could buy myself whatever.
Yeah, you could, yeah, because that's how it is. We're selfless creatures, too,
right,
especially when it comes to our kids. So it's not like, you know, you want a whole lot. But when y'all don't put no thought into it and you come with the best dad ever t-shirt or a pack of drawers and a cheap tie, man, go on with that.
You know, see, the things I want, this is why, you know, any holiday is, you know, my birthday or Christmas is so hard, is that, I mean, even for the Maven, too, is that we want big ticket items. You know, we want, you know, she wants to redo the kitchen. I want a Randy Mac, one of those Randy Mac grills.
Yeah, what they call it? What's that, the big green egg?
No, the flat top that he got.
Oh, no, you're talking about a hibachi kind of thingy.
I want that flat top.
Yeah, Randy Mac winning with that.
Yeah, I want that flat top thing. That's what I want.
Yeah, you know what I want for Father's Day? Get me a house. That's what I'm thinking, or a
right,
townhome.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I mean, isn't that what we want? I don't need ties. Lord knows
I don't wear, like, when I, wear a tie like, when anyway. I went to, when I went to Andy's house, Randy, excuse me, and saw his grill set up in the backyard and the big old unicorn, I was like, man, I need to hurry up and move. Like, I need some more space, and I want a grill. And I want to be able to go in my backyard and if I want to, just smoke a stogie in my backyard and watch TV. That is my gift to myself.
Mm-hmm,
anything
right.
else out of the, outside
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, I know, right. The rest
cool
of it, yeah, I don't need
yeah,
anything
I don't
else.
Need all that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm the same way.
So say them pack of drawers, them ugly old ties that y'all be getting,
mm-hmm,
and those best dad t-shirts. Put some thought into those gifts. Lazy, good for nothing kids. Put your butts through school. Spend all that money for those extra classes and whatnot. And that's the best that you could do. Step your game up.
You know, if dad says, you know, you say, dad, what do you want for Father's Day? And he says, I want to do what Fricky wants to do. I want to sit on my butt and watch the Braves in the U.S. Open. Then, you know what? Let him. That's it. That's
I would,
no, it's true.
I would tell my kids.
Don't bug him.
They'll say, dad, what do you want for Father's Day? I want you to stop talking to me for 24 hours. Just don't ask me for nothing. Don't say nothing to me. Just leave me in a room with a TV and just let me go. That's it. Don't ask me to cut no grass, lady, woman, wife, significant other, whoever you are. And don't ask me to do nothing. Don't ask me to go to the store for you. Don't ask me nothing. Just leave me alone on Sunday. That's it.
Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, the would-be fathers and whatnot. And I hope you have a wonderful Sunday, however you want to celebrate it, and gifts or no gifts or whatnot. But it is going to be a big weekend of sports. Maybe, you know, the perfect Father's Day gift might be tickets to a Braves game if you can get them. I mean, this could be sellout, sellout, sellout against the Phillies this Sunday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the enormity of this series. Getting toward the middle of the year, that big series ahead. Not the only news. The Falcons are talking after wrapping up minicamp. What was the big issue and concern about Grady Jarrett? Is there one? Well, we'll tell you what the buzz is next with John and Hugh on the morning show after we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
In the mornings, when you look at a script, sometimes you want to see two guys match up against one another. You do a lot more of that at training camp where you say, let's test so-and-so against so-and-so, and often it's the new player.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.